Chapter 19, The Lady, the Lake, and the Lightning. Today. It had been a pleasant start to the day in Central Park. Helen Flanagan had completed her morning duties nice and early. She'd opened her assigned gates at 6 a.m, as always. She'd checked the public restrooms in her section, all of which were surprisingly clean. Well, not clean, but cleaner than expected. She'd even had time to eat her breakfast on a bench, watching as the different groups arrived. The joggers came in first, followed by the elderly, in some bizarre reenactment of the tortoise and the hare. In Helen's 50 years of life in the city, she'd seen a lot of strange things. This was New York, after all. But the strangest thing she had ever seen happened that morning. It began with a distant boom at around 10 a.m. Everyone who lived in this city was sensitive to unexplained booms. You couldn't blame them, given its history. She took out her phone to see if New York was under attack again. A cab had mysteriously exploded. She kept refreshing, hoping for more information. That's when it tore past her. A gold, glowing line. It was beautiful, like a solid sunbeam. Helen stared after it, mesmerized. To her astonishment, a man was holding the end of the sunbeam as if it were a leash, like he was taking an invisible dog for a walk, only the dog was walking him. The man was running, running faster than she had ever seen anyone run. A jogger who had stopped to catch their breath looked on enviously. As the man passed, Helen saw something move in her periphery. There, running along the park's wall, was a lithe, cat-like woman in a tracksuit carrying what appeared to be a bow. The man fell, releasing the golden string as he did so. The arrow that the woman had shot was sticking right through his ankle. This was not going to be an easy one to explain to the Central Park rangers. Adam gripped his leg, swearing under his breath in a variety of dead languages. "Why, for goodness sake, always the same spot, really?" He snapped the arrow in half, quickly pulling it from the wound. He took out a richly adorned flask from his coat's breast pocket and ripped out the stopper with his teeth. "Sana vulnera, amen." As he poured the water onto his wound, it began to smoke. Adam could feel the flesh pulling back together. This was Vatican magic, clumsily done. He'd worry about finesse later. He reached the edge of the lake. He looked left and right. It was busy, busier than he would have liked. He'd already exposed Pete today. He didn't want to be the cause of Vivian losing her home. Adam pulled out the jam jar, in which the steam from the grate was still swirling. Then he fished out a small black book. Frantically, he flicked through the pages. He knew he'd written it down somewhere, but he hadn't used it since his trip into the forbidden... Aha! "Fumo! Redimio! Ecora!" he cried, smashing the jar to the ground before him. The steam leapt from its glass confinement, grew and spread, surrounding the lake in a thick dome of fog. Helen had chased after him. She arrived at the edge of the water, horribly out of breath, just in time to see the bizarre weather phenomenon take place. She saw the patrons of her park turn their heads in confusion. It had been such a nice day up until now. Adam glanced over his shoulder. Diana's sharp senses had not been hampered by the meteorological apparition. She burst through the mist, arriving beside him at the water's edge. Quickly, Adam flicked through the book once more. "Et cum spiritu tuo!" He sprinted across the surface of the water. Thank goodness he'd fogged the lake. The last time he had done that trick out in the open, it had caused quite a stir. He made it to the other side of the water, spinning round triumphantly. Diana paced the water's edge like a caged panther. Adam knew she would be assessing her options. Even if she swam the lake, she'd never catch up in time. Would she try to shoot him from there? He had seen her shoot blindfolded. Adam listened carefully for any sound of movement in the water or the tightening of a bowstring. But there was nothing to indicate pursuit. Adam had always been a natural optimist. His inclination to believe that everything would work out had caused him a significant amount of pain over the years, but even he couldn't believe his good fortune. Then he heard it. Something whistling through the air. Something much bigger than an arrow. Bugger, Adam said, realizing a moment too late. Diana had leapt clean over the lake. Helen could hardly make out anything through the still, thick cloud of fog, but she did manage to catch the flicker of a female form cut through the top of the mist. The rangers were going to assume she was high on the job. Again. Diana landed on Adam's chest with a sickening crack. He was now flat on his back, his head a foot away from the water. "You always did make excellent prey," Diana purred. She reached calmly into her now seemingly empty quiver, keeping Adam pinned under one strong leg. Adam recognised that particular piece of hardware. Like his coat, it had been forged by Vulcan. It had been designed to hold every weapon of the world. Who knew what would be pulled from it next? "Listen, please, please don't stab me," Adam begged. "It really hurts, and let me keep my fingers. It's so boring waiting for them to grow back. Let's just talk. How have you been?" "You look great." Diana did not respond. Instead, she pulled from her quiver a thin set of adamantine chains. Adam began to panic. He'd seen those chains before. They were made to hold Prometheus and had done so for an eternity. Adam knew that if he was shackled in those, the game was up. His only hope was to get her talking, to distract her until he'd formulated some sort of plan. Gods, in all forms, liked to brag and boast, if given the chance. "Are you taking me to see the big man?" Adam tried. Diana flashed him a set of brilliant white teeth. "Oh, no. He would be too lenient on you. This is all way over his head. You know, he hasn't been down here in over 2,000 years. He is detached, useless, an appendage." Diana turned her heel. Another rib broke. "Be careful," he said through clenched teeth. The pain was beginning to overwhelm him, but he would not give her the satisfaction of a scream. "He may hear you." Adam looked up at the clouds. The fog above them was beginning to thin, letting some sunlight stream down on the pair. Diana followed his gaze, still grinning. "I hope he does. It's always more of a challenge when your prey knows you are hunting." As she looked up, Adam managed to surreptitiously fill his left hand with dirt. As soon as her gaze was on him once more, he gave a quick jerk of his wrist and threw it at the boastful former goddess, successfully hitting her in both eyes. She cried out in surprise and frustration, losing her balance. Adam took this chance to cast his right hand into the water of the lake. "Lady, it is I, Arthur Pendragon, once king of all Britain," he yelled, hoping against hope that Elizabeth's theory had been correct, otherwise he was about to look ridiculous. "I need my weapon back." "I will make you suffer, Adam. You will suffer," spat Diana, still wiping sand from her eyes. Maybe this was no time for formalities. "Vivian, it's me. It's Adam. Please give me the..." Adam felt something move under the water. Something cold and heavy was being placed in his hand. But it didn't feel like a sword. Adam swung his arm out of the lake. He was clutching a handle, furnished out of dark chestnut wood. The hammer, body and barrel were laced with an intricate pattern of gold and silver. Adam had only used a firearm once before, and that had been a musket. But the musket, too, had had a trigger. Diana got the last of the dirt from her eyes, just in time to see the barrel of Excalibur gleaming in the high noon sun. "I'll see you in heaven, or hell, whichever." Adam pulled the trigger. A flash as bright as lightning tore out of the barrel. Adam watched with morbid fascination as Diana disappeared. her whole body vanishing like flour through a sieve. Adam released the pressure on the trigger, and the light faded. Rain began to fall. Adam fell back, utterly exhausted. He could already feel his ribs slowly beginning to knit themselves back together. It would be wise to give them a few minutes before moving again. The water broke behind him. Well, that all looked rather painful. A pair of green Wellington boots appeared beside him. Adam looked up into the face of Vivian, daughter of Vulcan, the Lady of the Lake. Her skin was very pale, her eyes two great pools of the deepest blue. She was wearing a plastic matte silver anorak with matching hat. Her silver-white hair, cut short, was only just visible under the hat's wide brim, dripping with rain and lake water. Finally found the name then. Helen was the only one who saw what happened that day. The only one brave or stupid enough to run headlong through the fog and stand at the water's edge. But she never told a soul what she saw there. She never filled out that police report. She never told her fellow park keepers about seeing the man walk on water, or the woman with the bow and arrow who leapt after him. She never tweeted about the lightning bolt that went up in the sky, or posted about the woman in silver who strode out of the lake. She never talked about it. But she thought about it every day, for the rest of her life. The sun was now dipping into the ocean by the island of Delos, as Anna Friday continued to think about all the things that were and are and could be. There was something niggling at the back of her mind, a feeling that the former goddess of wisdom rarely experienced. It was the smallest flicker of doubt. Her train of thought was broken as the air around her began to crackle. A sad smile drew across her lips. Her hunch had been correct, after all. The fingers appeared first, pushing through thin air. When the whole hand was visible, Anna grabbed hold and pulled. An arm followed. Then a screaming face as every one of the atoms that made up Diana's body fused back together. With a firm tug, the once chaste and worshipped goddess of the hunt fell onto the Delos grass, naked, shaking, and sweating. Anna stood over her sister, taking it all in. She had never seen this process up close. It was fascinating. "It's all right. It's me," Anna said, wrapping a soft sheepskin around Diana's shoulders. Diana flinched. "Tell me what happened." Anna tried hard to keep her voice as calm as possible. Diana looked up at her big sister, tears of pain and fury streaming from her eyes.
You've been listening to Evergreen, Chapter 19, written by Sam Russell and read by Catherine Russell. If you enjoyed this chapter, wherever you're listening, please subscribe, give us a rating and a review so we can get this story into more people's ears. And if you're really enjoying it and want to support this project, you can do so on our Ko-fi page. All details are available on our Twitter account at Evergreen Book One. The next chapter comes out on February the 28th. Thanks for listening.